had what's called a squawk box that was basically a, you know, 50-foot pigtail. And it had, you know, all of the critical equipment on that box. And you normally would set up a tent beside the equipment so you could rotate shifts, you know. And you just set that squawk box in there, and it gives you a status of all the critical equipment. So you know, when you're sitting in the tent, you know, not doing your job, all you got to do is, you know, look up at those little lights, and that'll tell you what's going on. But yeah, it's not really a status box, but I put it there to put the lights on it so I can see status if I need to.
Now, since you've got that going, I wonder, it just occurred to me, that I wonder if perhaps let's try this scenario. It's really snowy. Maybe that's unusual. But you got 2 feet of snow, and maybe your truck can make it. But maybe you don't want the hassle. But you've got a live video feed that you can connect to. A camera is on that box, and you can see that. Would that be a possibility, kind of remotely, or maybe not a video, but, you know, some other way that its status could be sent over the internet so that you wouldn't have to make that long trip just to check it out?
Yeah, well, like I said, it's not intended to be a status box, but we do have cameras up there. We watch, you know, everything that's going on, and we can log in and see the status of the equipment. You know, what's on the road coming in. We got one up on the tower so we can see the weather and, you know, the mountains and things like that. So, you know, but like I said, it's not intended to be a status box. It's a control box, if you want to actually put a name on it, I guess.
That just came to my tongue, I guess. Status box. Just opened the door and peeked in, and I want to determine the status. I could be just all wrong, but I'm just thinking, I look over at that box and the lights are on. I know some attention needs to be paid to that, or what the problem is from the moment I stepped my first foot in the door. That's why as I was watching it, I was thinking, gee, this is sweet. You don't have to do a lot of rummaging around or figuring anything out or kind of see what's connected to what. You've got this one status box, okay? You've got this one box that tells you the situation in the room. I just thought it was brilliant, and now I got a chance to tell you that. KK4JBQ.
I've been working on the thing for 2 months, you know. I built one a couple months ago just to test, and didn't have anything to attach all the circuit boards to. So I went and got the cutting board. We got a cutting board made out of Delrin, that kind of plastic stuff. Boy, they make good backer boards for circuit cards and things like that. Well, anyway, I went in there in the kitchen, got it, and mounted all my circuit boards to it. It was 10 minutes after I brought it out there and cut it up and drilled holes in it. She comes out in the ham shack and won't know where the cutting board is. I haven't seen the cutting board. And I just laughed. And she said, never mind, I'll get another one.
About us men and our women's cutting boards. I do the very same thing. I don't know how many, if there is anybody else listening, I don't know how many men are out there and they've gone in the kitchen and robbed that cutting board to do something with it. I've done it. I'll admit to it. Well, okay, so before we get to a place where you want to leave, I want to ask you about JW and get a JW report.
So, Anna went and visited with him today, and he he smiled at her for the first time. And last week, I don't know, maybe 2 weeks ago, I was over there, and he, you know, had a messy diaper twice. And then, you know, they changed diaper and then fed him, and then 5 minutes later he had, you know, diaper again. Well, he rolled his, he messed up the second diaper, and he just kind of head flopped over and looked at me, and he just kind of winked at me, you know. I know it was involuntary, but, you know, it was a perfect wink with one eye, like, yeah, okay, I'm, you know, I got him, you know. I just giggled and just laughed. I said, I'm thinking to myself, oh boy, here we go.
I've only ever had one baby that I took care of. I was 13 years old when my baby sister was born. And so, you know, we, you know, at first we couldn't afford a babysitter, and so it was me. You know, when Mom and Dad were, you know, when they were working, and when both of them were gone on the same shift, it was just me. And when they were on different shifts, one of them was working and the other one was sleeping. So I took care of that child. And I, it's the only memory I have of taking care of a baby of that age, and all the needs and all the concerns, the fun and the parts that aren't so much fun. And I would tell her later, all grown up, a woman with her own little boy, I said, Sam, you won't believe it when I tell you this, but you were a very quiet baby. You weren't fitful, and you didn't just wham, wham, wham all the time. No, you were a quiet baby. But there was just this one time. This one time. Now, back then, diapers came with pins. They didn't come with little pull tabs that you use a sticky part to, you know, not the old-timey diapers. So I pinned these on, and I just did it once. But boy, I stuck her with a pin diaper, and she paid me back for all the time she was so quiet, so well-behaved. She bawled for half an hour, and my nerves were just, I'll never forget it. I told her about that, and she just, KK4JVQ.
Just gonna also let you know, not to change gears here, but it's, I don't know, 4 or 5 months ago, maybe longer, me and my son posted a video up on YouTube about this antenna thing we built, and I don't know, a week or two after we posted it, we got two radios that showed up in the mail. Talk bot or talk pod or something like that, handheld radios. And this company was wanting me and him to do a YouTube review on the handhelds. So we've had them for a couple months. So he took, Perry took one of them home. And, you know, it just hasn't been able to do much with the things, you know. And he said, I don't understand. You know, I can't talk to anybody on these things. They don't ever hear anybody. And why is this, you know, all these questions? Why is this frequency like this? What is the PO tone? What is this? This, that, and the other. So, anyway, I decided I'd go ahead and get, because my oldest son, Lewis, has been asking some questions about GMRS. So we've put a GMRS repeater up on the hill there with the 2-meter repeater. And long story short, I got Perry and Lewis a GMRS call sign, you know, and got them 2 handheld radios for GMRS. So I gave the radio to Perry today. It was the first time he's actually got his hands on one that was actually programmed to work with. Out yard messing with it, and I showed him how to turn it on, this, that, and other. Well, we messing with it 4 or 5 minutes, and then sure enough, here comes two people talking on through the GMRS repeater we got up on the hill. And he said, I can't believe somebody's actually talking. I can actually hear voices on it. So I said, well, answer them. I said, here's your call sign. So he threw his call sign out there, and next thing I know, he's walking around the yard with a handy talkie and got it clipped on his belt. So Lewis is at a Christian retreat this weekend, so I'll give him his beginning the next week, I guess. But I'm kind of looking forward to that because I know how they think, and I kind of know where this is probably going to end up.
KI4LZI.
Yeah, let me see if I got it. That's kind of exciting. I was terribly excited when Donna wanted her dad's call sign. I said, honey, you're going to need to study for your license, and then you can have his call sign. go ahead there, Andy.
Thing I was wanting to point out about GMRS, too. A lot of people used output frequency of the GMRS repeaters as a simplex frequency. You go out at that Pickens flea market every Wednesday, you'll hear them using the output frequency of these GMRS repeaters like it's simplex. When I used to go out there years ago, I'd have a scanner and you will hear them using what the GMRS setup is. A lot of people used output frequency as simplex. People who's further away and has better equipment that has radios that's got the offset function will use it like we do here with all sets. But on GMRS, some equipment is designed to have the offset on it and some does. And a lot of people at these flea markets will turn around and use it like as if it was simplex. I know I mentioned that to Mandel about that. He better make sure everything stays toned well. Go ahead, Larry.
Kind of an ignorance about GMRS. I didn't know there were repeaters for GMRS. Maybe it's there are a couple of systems that are similar. Maybe I'm thinking of the other one. I don't know. I'm a bit confused about that. I only need to stay straight about amateur radio. That's enough. Three, anyway. Go ahead, Chad.
So basically, GMRS is, way on up in the 70-centimeter kind of side of things, 462, 465, dot whatever. It's, most of it's restricted to, depending on the frequency, restricted to anywhere from 2 to 5 watts. If you have a mobile, certain frequencies, you can go up to 50 watts. But it's really chaotic, really, because all of the pairs are uncoordinated. So if if Larry wants to put a repeater up, he just goes and buys a repeater and puts it in his yard. No coordinating anything. And then if next door neighbor wants to put one up on the same frequency, he can. And nothing you can say or do about it. I got a feeling, though, the FCC's not going to deal with that for long because it's chaotic when you've got, 3 or 4 repeaters that, you think about that for a minute. A repeater that's not coordinated, not required to be coordinated, and, you take this frequency, for example. What if, somebody else was on this frequency and there's no legal backing behind it that says, hey,
you know, hey, I've been here longer, you need to change. And there's none of that right now, but I got a feeling that's not going to last too long.
What the hell is the guy? Well, I'm going to use Mandel's GMRS repeater just for an example. One on Glassy, one that's now on Caesar's Head, and the one out on 6 Mile Mountain. You take some of this GMRS equipment, the ones that's not set up to offer an offset, and for your situation, Larry, I'll explain it here as if it was here on amateur radio. You're going to have a bunch of people here on this output frequency of this repeater here. That's using a GMRS repeater out at that pick and flea market. Communicating on the output frequency of this repeater here. Well, you've got others that's got radios that's designed to do the offset. Well, they're going to be doing it like we're doing right here, using offset through the repeater. But those others that's communicating on the output frequency of the repeater, using it like simplex, that's why I just mentioned that about, that I was telling Mandel, our buddy Mandel, about the tones. That's going to be very, very critical, because some radios do the offset and some don't. And the one that don't do the offset will be transmitting on the same output frequency as the repeater. Go ahead, Larry. KI4LZI.
I don't know when anybody's going to pull the plug, so I was going to have to ask you this question right now. I intended to make a note. I am ready to make a note now. You said your daughter's wedding is scheduled for sometime in March?
Correct. End of March.
Okay. Well, I'll just make a general note about the end of March. Must be, now, you and Anna must have had some conversation about empty nesting. Have you not?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, we've kind of had that conversation and felt it, so yeah.
In that same conversation, you mentioned something about a trip. I think that is an excellent idea. So, I don't know when you have it planned, but if it is that all of a sudden you look around, the house is so quiet, and you don't anticipate, because they have their own lives now, you don't anticipate one of your children just to run in the door like you always knew them to do. So you feel free. And freedom is a good feeling. So, but then to do what? That's the sinking part of the good feeling. So now that you're free, you can travel a little bit, have more time together, whatever, you know. Didn't you say something in that same conversation about a trip?
He hopes to go see WWV at some point out there in Colorado, don't you? KI4LZI4ID.
Be with KK4JBQ. Yeah, so we're headed to Colorado toward the end of this month. And, having a reunion with all the people that I deployed with on the last deployment. So we're gonna meet out in Colorado this year, and you know, hopefully it won't be too many fist fights this year. So I'm joking. But yeah, the WWV's out there, and I'm gonna try to go take a look at it. I was reading up on it the other night, and it's pretty fascinating. There's a lot to the WWV. People didn't realize, you know, how complex that is. But just for example, you know, certain WWVs, all of the WWVs have a male voice, except for the one in Hawaii. The one in Hawaii has a female voice. and they use a female voice because of its location, and for propagation, they can hear the female voice and measure propagation off of, you know, the WWV. So that's an interesting fact, number one. The thing is very interesting is, I don't know if you've ever listened to WWV, but you hear these unusual tones that are transmitted, and they're transmitted every second. And first of all, that tone comes from a cesium atom, and as that our piece of cesium, as it starts to decay and electrons start to fall off of it, cesium is one of those atomic, material or whatever, that when an electron falls off of it, it's very close to exactly being 1 second. So they have equipment that counts that electron when it comes off, and then they count that and then transmit. That's how they keep track of our time, off of the decay of cesium. And then as that electron falls off, they count it. So that's where you kind of get on WWV. So that's an interesting fact, number two. Number three is embedded in the ticks or the sound in WWV is embedded information. Inside those ticks tells you the hour of the day, the minutes, the second, the arcs of a second, the day, the month, and the location. You have to have certain equipment to decode those ticks, but they have a breakout chart on the website, so you can kind of see what you can decode in between each second as it ticks off on counting the time, and you know, that's very interesting to me. Go ahead.
K4JBQ. I guess it's all my messing with watches and clocks and such as that. You do that for a living, and I don't know. I guess to have any feeling for what I'm going to say, I got to tell you that I walked into this watch shop, and that's all I knew. The guy fixed watches. Ken's Watch and Shaver Repair. It was the title over the door. Ken would later be my boss. And I walked in and I says, I need a job, and you can teach me how to work on everything in here, I'm sure. So if you'd like some help, I'm here. How about it? I talked to him just like that. He gave me a job, and I was with him for several years. First thing he wanted me to do was anniversary clocks. That's those clocks that are suspended on a spring, a very thin, flat spring, and you get it started, and it'll run for a year on one winding. That's why they call it an anniversary clock. He had 40, 45 of those things in there. And he didn't care for them, not at all. He took them in, and all of his customers kept calling. But so he says, you can do me the biggest favor. You got a job, and you can do me the biggest favor right away. You can fix and learn how to fix these anniversary clocks. So he gave me like 3 books that explained everything about operation and repair of anniversary clocks. That's what I did. So you start like that, and you come away with a real appreciation of what is time anyway? Who made that? You know, in Scripture we learn that the days of the week number 7, and divided by, you know, astronomical events like the sun shines and the moon shines, you know, calling one day and calling the other night. Hey, but how about 60 seconds in an hour? I'm sorry, 60 seconds in a minute. 60 minutes in an hour. Who figured that out? Well, anyway, it's all very interesting, Chad. Right down to the very tiniest part. KK4JBQ.
4LZI. Well, I frequently take and tune around and listen to the WWV and the CHU both. CHU up in Canada is 3350, 14670, 7850. That's the three I'm aware of on CHU Canada, but the others, of course, as you say, you can find them any problem online, but that's three of the ones from CHU. But one on WWV, currently they're doing a tone test for propagational purpose. They announced that about 3 minutes past the hour, something like that. Then about 8 minutes past the hour, they do actually do the tone test. They do. And at 18 minutes past the hour, they kind of do like what John does, solar propagation report, they do. But many, many years ago, before, they used to take at about 9 after the hour, do a report on weather at sea. They used to for ships out at sea, but when the internet got real popular, they discontinued that, and they don't do that anymore. But I've listened to those various ones for quite a bit. So you take it there, KI4LZI, Chad.
I was, Anna and I were talking about that the other night. I think I was talking with the guys on Pickens about WWE, and Anna and I got talking about it. And, you know, why would you go to the extent of, you know, being that accurate with time, you know? Why does time need to be that accurate? And that's, Dave mentioned fractals in the beginning of this conversation, and this is the closer you zoom in on that, the more you can see how critical it is, you know. And, I mean, water plants, power grids, cell phones, how we get our food, you know, everything's based off of time, you know. You know, turn the water on at this time and pump this many gallons and turn it off at this time and blah, blah, blah. You know, trains, airplanes, all of that's on time. And, you know, so you mess that up, you kind of in a bad spot, you know. So I was reading up on the website, and it's an unmanned station primarily, and it is not available for tour. You can kind of drive up to it and kind of look at the antennas or whatnot, but, you know, we're gonna go take a look, see what we can learn about it.
KK4JBQ. Well, this has been an overall fine day. It really has. Donna brought me her Zentangle, and that led to bunches of good stuff. And then, Chad, you sent me the videos that about your, I'll just call it a box. And that fascinated me for a while. And then you explained its functions. I thought very well through the video. I looked at them in series. You know, you're given when you first realize that they're there on your phone, you can see all of them lined up. And I thought it was just individual pictures. But next thing I know, it has that little button with the arrow point, you know, indicating that it's a movie. And I realized, The simplest things make me happy. I realize that, oh, that's not just a picture, just a series of pictures. That is a little movie. And so I clicked on it and sat back for, I don't know, 5 or 6 minutes and watched them all, and it was a pleasure. I take pleasure in the simplest things. So I realized that you must have put in hours upon hours. Because you're careful in the thing, in the way you accomplish things. I'll just put it that way. And this takes time. And that's why we have time. That's one of the reasons why we have time. We project just how long it's going to take to do one thing or another. Time is it's a handy thing to use. But mankind made time. We, you know, it was just always sitting there. We gave it a name and a function. And it has ever so many functions. Anyway, I've talked long enough. KK4JBQ.
What was it? 5 to 7 years ago, they was going to shut WWV down. They was. Well, you got to look at it this way. Satellites, some great power, well, we're not going to destroy our own, but other powers, say like Russia or China, they got the capability of shooting those and destroying those satellites. They could destroy a GPS satellite. Then if the internet's down, that time's gone. Kind of like what they mentioned in QST, and that's the time when that was going on about keeping it going. That dates back to 1919, the WWV does. And it's always, for most of us, been there, and these clocks that operate off of it, they're kind of, well, they're not excessively expensive, and they operate, I believe it was on either 30 or 60 kilohertz. I don't remember which right now, on one of those frequencies. But over time, that WWV has been very, very important. When it first started out, I guess for 2 or 3 years, believe it or not, they done, well, you read about some of it. One of you did. You and Chad one did. I know what I read in QST about it, where they took and had the farm reports and even played music on it back in 1920 and maybe 21. Just after that, they discontinued that. But WWV has been around a long, long time. And up to this point, it's best to keep it than let it go. Go ahead, Chad. KI4LCI.
Like I said, I thought it was pretty interesting, the article I read, but anyway, Larry, back to the conversation. So that is a culmination of, so there's this port on the back of the controller that has been bothering me since, you know, we put the repeater up, and I never studied on it or anything. Just kind of thought, what is that port for? Maybe that's just, you know, something I don't need to know about. So one night I got reading through the information about the controller, and you can control other circuits through that pin configuration. Turn things on and off, you can measure voltages and have it transmit over the air, things like that. And, you know, I don't like to buy something or be responsible for something and not know all of its capabilities, every little detail. You know, I mean, that's part of the responsibility. And so it's taken me, you know, I mentioned it took me, you know, two, 3 months to build the thing. But here's the deal with that. Started to read and started to think about the potential. Okay, well, if I can turn this on or I can turn that off or I can measure this or measure that and have it transmitted over the air, then I don't have to drive to the mountain. But the more I looked into it, the harder it became, because you have to control all that with 100 milliamps or less, or you'll damage the circuitry on the controller. So that started the motivation there, that how do I turn a high voltage circuit off with less than 100 milliamps? So that started the study of, so far, because of this thing, I've learned about transistors, PNP, NPN transistors, MOSFETs, JFETs, high voltage transistors, and voltage regulators, and all of that. So this is not just about being able to control things. It's a lot of learning that's been going on too, and I have enjoyed every bit of it, and that's truthfully every single step of the way. Smoked a lot of stuff, burn it up, but I learned a lot.
Fascinating. It reminds me a great deal of, I know it was a video that I watched. It was some time ago, over a year ago. This fella had, he pretty much lived in the wilderness, okay? And he wanted, he was a amateur radio operator, and he wanted a remote shack. He was very remote himself, but he wanted his shack to be closer to civilization, and he would use that, the repeater that he put in that shack, as an intermediate point to get out to civilization. And what I found so fascinating about that little video, it's probably on YouTube, I guess, was that he could manage every piece of equipment and get its whatever state it was in. He would know when something was offline and have to make that trip. I don't know what it was, 40 miles or something like that. He'd have to make the trip to the shack. But it was self-sufficient, as nearly as he could make it, self-sufficient. And he wouldn't have to make that trip very often. He was also kind of in a very cold climate most of the time. So it wasn't just a long way, it was treacherous, that's it. It was treacherous getting there. So he gave a whole tour of this shack and what the equipment that was in it and how it was communicating back to his shack at home. And, well, I just thought that's just this, the nuts, as they say. KK4JBQ.
Well, see, you're talking to our good buddy that me and Chad knows, WR4XM over here sometimes, about, he knows more than me and Chad both together about all this stuff. When it comes to having remotes to turn this off or on the repeaters up there, like when you got it linked to the one system, or you got it linked to this repeater, or link to this repeater. He knows when it comes to such that, and there's another one that even knows more than him. What was his call sign? N4LRD. Richard. He's Richard. N4LRD is pretty much the ones that keeps the one system for the most part going over here with all these linked systems into these repeaters. They can inform you of stuff that Chad, I and me the one still don't know about when it comes to all this, and it would be very fascinating to you. Go ahead, Chad, KI4LZI.
QE with KK4JBQ and KL4LZI. So, yeah, so... I, like I said, got the controller and the repeater and put it up in the repeater shack when we did all the upgrades and changes, and didn't know anything about it. Had to learn, you know, had to learn to program it and this, that, and the other. And I, you know, so that has taken months to learn the language, just to learn to program it. And I just have got to a point to where I can move freely within the programming, and I know what to do. So, you know, for example, you know, the way this repeater reacts here, every time it identifies, it's programmed to do that. And how loud it programs, how loud it identifies. You hear net mode turning on at 8:30. Well, it's scheduled and programmed to do that every night at 8:30. And, you know, somebody has to program that. And I would say that probably would be Dave. But at midnight, you want to, you know, turn that net mode off and it comes back on. So just a million different things you can do with the controller, but you have to learn its language. If you don't, you're in a mess. And it took me a couple of months to learn that. And as I started to learn it, the more I got fascinated with it, that I can't believe you can do this. You know, I can tell it to do a task. Here's the DTMF tone that I want you to use to do that task. And after you do that task, I want you to transmit that you've done it. And that's amazing to me. It blows my mind.
It is amazing. And Dave has utilized more than anybody else. And that would follow, because Dave is a programmer, for crying out loud. So he has programmed it to do during the day. He has what amounts to an ad or an appeal for new net controllers, and it will come on as, and by itself, I suppose. It's kind of transparent. I could swear that Dave's not there talking to introduce the announcement each time it runs. But I rather think that it's in his voice. He says the same thing. It's a recording. And then a very reasonable human voice approximating a human voice, I suppose, gives you the announcement, like scripted announcement, and then Dave will come back to sign off. It's part of the, you know, part 97. There are things that you must do in order to show that you have control. To announce its the message, then to deliver the message, and then to sign off. And then that thing at midnight. Well, it's actually two things. One is at 11:59 and 30 seconds. It will turn the net mode off. And then at exactly midnight, it will announce that it's midnight with a beep. And that's just cool, you know. Dave did it probably just because it's cool. KK4JBQ.
That second thing that's at midnight, if you listen close to it, it tells the time. And it IDs the echo link it does. That's what it does on that second time. It tells the time and it IDs the echo link system that he's got on this machine. I've also heard at times they bring up something like I heard them talking about here at our meeting. And I think Chad heard it out there about the bulletin board type thing. I've heard Dave bring that up and down a couple of times there about something about, you know, about a meeting. The meeting's going to be at a certain time. down there in Greenville, and of course, as you said about the net control business, that's my assumption of what's called a bulletin board type thing that I remember talked out here at our UC out here about that, if you remember, Chad. Wasn't taken, KI4LCI.
Yeah, well, so I have the club purchased, you know, the controller and the repeater, but I purchased a controller myself with my money, and I repaired the old repeater, and it's on the bench here, so I've got the controller that I bought with the repeater, the old repeater, and I do all the testing here, so that, you know, if I mess up on the programming, you know, not everybody has to listen or suffer through that. I can get it right on the bench. And then, you know, make changes, you know, right then and there once I know it's right. But it's been a very enjoyable experience. And once you learn the language of how to write the macros and what it's actually doing, for example, so I have the programmer, I have the controller programmed that if AC power drops, it will send an alarm over the repeater. One alarm that says AC power has failed and automatically changes the courtesy tone to four beeps instead of one. It's quite annoying, actually. But I chose that tone, you know, four courtesy tones, to let the club members know, hey, we're on backup power. Y'all need to keep chit-chat down. it's just kind of, you know, you need to try to save power. And that's where the control box you saw today, Larry, comes into play, is that when that AC power drops, I'll program the controller to shut those relays on and turn all auxiliary circuits completely off, and drop transmitter power too. So I think I've got a pretty good handle on it.
Now I remember. I mean, I don't remember exactly when you told me, but it was a few months back. You said you were going to work on something. Yeah, now I remember. And it was about this dropping AC power and going on the backup and keeping club members and anybody else that is in the know aware that the thing with that courtesy tone, that's the situation it's in. And that would, you get a notification each time you get the four beeps, and that's the least expense on the battery. To have an announcement every half hour, that would be more time than the courtesy tone. More power expended. So that's just smart. Yeah. Okay, so now it's all stitched together, you know, for me, at least. Pretty wise. KK4, JBQ.
Y'all go ahead and carry on. I'll have to get out here in about 5 minutes anyway and take in some. In the meantime, I'll be listening till then, but as Chad's finding out, these repeaters and repeater controllers, the duplexers, those duplexes are very, very brittle things. It's called cavities. Those duplexes, you sneeze on them, you'll bite it, and they'll get out of whack. That's what we was talking about before, a while back, too, about temperature control and whatnot. You got to be careful with them, and you don't want something. As Mandel found out, years, decades ago, about having to go up on the mountain in the ice, about having that remote controller, that is very helpful. Go ahead, Chad. Y'all go ahead. I'll be listening. I'm going to go here in about a few minutes. JI 4 LZI. I'll be listening, but I'll be signing too.
And UE with KK4 JBQ. Let me make sure I got it. So I just thought that would be kind of neat, but when you know, kind of stumbled across it buried in the hardware manual, and I thought, you know, what if I'm reading this right, I can kind of program this thing to look for certain things. You know, when these certain things happen, I want you to transmit that, and then after you. What I want you to do, I want you to do this, 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 and that. And then tell me you've done it. And that's pretty powerful. You know, you don't have to go to the top of the mountain then. You know, so with that comes, if these ports on the back of it, or these pins on the back of this thing, it's a DB25. Four of them measure voltage, measure inputs. But you cannot exceed 15 volts at 100 milliamps. So that begs the question, how do you measure voltage drop on an AC circuit if all you have is 15 volts DC and, you know, 100 milliamps that it can sense? So you kind of see where I'm going with this. It's, okay, now we need to learn how to convert AC to DC, and we're going to do that through a bridge rectifier. And then when it's converted, when it's, you know, the DC is converted, then we have to drop that down. We have to regulate that. Then we have to clean it. We have to rectify it. And I'm telling you, I've learned so much. That one circuit, trying to learn that, it took me a month, you know, to figure that out. I don't know how many voltage regulators I destroyed in the process, but, you know, finally had to go learn. I'm tired of buying these things. Let me figure out what I'm doing wrong. And that was pretty interesting to be able to learn that, but that takes a lot of time, you know, but I have enjoyed it.
That makes me think of Thomas Edison. You know, he kept track of how many different materials he used for a filament. It was over 1,000. Maybe a lot over 1,000. I can't really remember the number. But it was a long time before he got to tungsten. Oh, some of it would burn for a few minutes, and others would burn for a few hours, but it wasn't until he got to tungsten that he got it right. And that's just necessary. But you know what's in my gut right now? That's all in your head. Unless you can also write an approximation of a manual. What needs to be done for this, what needs to be done for that. To keep it all functional, if and when you turn it over to someone else. Honestly, I've had to pass off things like that, and just as an example, in our church in Tennessee, I had going a tape ministry. I felt it very seriously, and that's why I took it on. We had people who were sick and couldn't make it to service. We had people who were shut in and couldn't make it to service. Now, this is before...
This is a reminder.
Oh, dear.
Message notified.
Oh, well, I can't turn her off.
Notified.
All right. She's done. So, Donna and I were scheduled to move here, and I panicked. It was kind of complicated what I was doing. And so I enlisted one of the people that had been so nice to help me in accomplishing that ministry. And let him know that I was going to be leaving and I was turning it over to him. Now, he'd been working in it, you know, up to his elbows anyway, and I didn't have to write a manual, but I'm thinking that that repeater and the controller that's along with it is complicated enough that a few notes would be handy. So, anyway, you know what I'm trying to say, and I'm not telling you anything, I'm just, you know, that you don't already know. It's just that I'm bringing it up. It's a real, I have thought many times, in the 23 years now since we left Tennessee, that I left that in good hands. And I felt very satisfied that I did that. KK4JBQ.